Christ is revealing himself unto me.
Christ is revealing himself unto me.
He opened mine eyes. The greatest thing we could receive is the revelation of his word. Hallelujah. All glory and praise be unto you, Lamb of God, tonight. Blessed be your wonderful name. Hallelujah. We thank you for the divine revelation of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the operation of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Spirit of truth that has come back to lead us and to guide us into all truth according to your promise. We thank you for that guide, that seventh dove, Lord. Hallelujah. In whose mouth is an olive leaf ministering peace and blessing and comfort to your people in the hour of judgment. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you glory. We give you praise tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, how thankful we are to know that we are part of the redeemed, Lord. Hallelujah. You put a seal upon us that we will not be under the judgment. You seal us in our foreheads with your name. Hallelujah. That the slaughtering angels cannot touch us. You touch not them who have the seal of God in their foreheads. Blessed be your wonderful name. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. It means more than life to us. Oh, God, to know that we will not come into condemnation, but we are passed from death unto life. We have been acquitted. You are free. The blood speaketh for us in this hour. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Saved by your grace. Saved by your grace. Not guilty. Not guilty. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, glory, you dropped the charges, Lord. Hallelujah. Every one of them. Glory and praise be unto your name. We lift our eyes unto heaven. We look up because our redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name tonight. All praise and glory be unto you, Lamb of God. We're so thankful to come into your house tonight, to gather in your name and worship you, to sing your praises. Oh God, to wait with anticipation to hear from you, you would speak to us. Oh God, and faith would come by the hearing of your word. Bless each and every one that's gathered in your presence. Get glory unto thyself in this service. We look unto you, the author and finish of our faith. We thank you for your richest blessings in Jesus' wonderful and precious name tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, precious Lord. Amen. Rest in our Bibles tonight. Amen. I'd like to read in St. John, again, chapter 5.
We'll read from verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Father even as they honor, all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father who hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation or into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Let us pray. Almighty God, we're certainly thankful to be gathered in your presence tonight. Coming in this midweek, Lord, and thinking back when you were here on Sunday morning, your Holy Spirit began to open up the scriptures to us, to show unto us, Lord, the hour that we are living in. The great supernatural happenings that are taking place in the spiritual realm. The things, O God, that the Holy Spirit desire for us to see and to know. That we might walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. That we might make a total separation from all unbelief, Lord. I pray tonight as we come even to review these things, even to examine closely these things written in the Holy Scriptures, made plain to us through the opening of the seven seals, spoken to us by a vindicated prophet, identified, Lord, and vindicated by the Holy Spirit. Dear God, we might be prepared and made ready for your coming. Help us to understand. May the Spirit of truth speak expressly. And may you grant grace and illumination tonight. The eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. Dear God, we'll know how to live, how to walk in this hour. We certainly thank you, Lord, for your grace and your blessings. We thank you for each and every one that is gathered here. I pray there some who may have a special need tonight. Gracious Father, thou knowest everything. We are certainly convinced of that. Not only dost thou know, but thou art more than able to meet every need. Not only art thou more than able to meet every need, but you promise to do it, even according to your riches. I pray, dear God, that faith would fall into the hearts of them. Lord God, and the Spirit of the living God would so energize them, Lord. Lift them up into that realm where they will know all things are possible to them that believe. And that the Spirit will give witness and blessed assurance. Even as they believe you and trust you, looking unto you to meet every need they have according to your riches and glory. I pray you would grant that tonight. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask these mercies and blessings. Even as we wait upon you, you'd speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless me. Have a seat. Well, we want to welcome everyone tonight in his presence and just maybe just be relaxed a little bit and just get settled in tonight that we could just fellowship around these divine truths and these things that we are trusting that would bring a true enlightenment to our hearts, even of the hour that we are living in, and that we could look and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is the end time. Amen. Sometimes by our living and our conduct, it seems that we are not absolutely sure of that. But when we examine the scriptures, We realize that what is happening many a times, we get away from what the Word says and we're no longer under the influence of the Word. So what happens is that forgetting what have happened and forgetting what God has done, we behave in such a way that, you know, we fail to realize that what age it is and what time it is in God's purpose. Even as on Sunday reading the scripture there in Genesis 19, when Lot and they were being spoken to by those angels and they was telling them of the judgment, the Bible say, and they lingered still. And the Bible say, God being merciful to them, the angels put their hand upon them. They didn't leave them to come out on their own afterwards. They decided to take them out. And it says, God being merciful to them. The angels were so mindful and determined to save them and deliver them from the wrath that was being poured out. When they realized their attitude was not one, you know, in accordance with what God was trying to impress upon them, they just hold them and pull them out quickly. And sometimes God have to do that, pulling us out of the fire. Bible says, and of some having compassion. Amen. Pulling them out of the fire. And then we look and we see those things. And, you know, it is such a tremendous thing that we're looking at that sometimes, you know, and more I've been studying some of these things. And I tell you, you know, you read the Bible and you pick up a word and you don't maybe look it up and study it and see what is written there. You come up with a superficial understanding. As the prophet said, when the scripture is regarded superficially, he said, well, you come up with a superficial understanding. And you don't see to the depth that God is really speaking at. And, you know, I even forget my books home, a couple of them that I really needed tonight. But there is a pick up a couple in the study there, but it's not even marked out. So I just trust they're going to be able to, might be slow in finding the page where I want to read from if I want to, would like to read. So you just bear with me nevertheless. But Sunday, I was speaking on a subject and I entitled it The Judicial Sentence of God. And we were bringing it in light of the scriptures and the message, but looking at some things that were spoken in the manner in which it was spoken and, you know, trying to put the emphasis where it was emphasized to us. Like, for instance, the prophet, when he was pushing the indictment, he says, I indict this generation. He said, this morning I'm using the house of God like a courtroom to lay this indictment. He says, and to do this, I must first prove that this generation is guilty of a criminal offense. And I must make this stand before the judge himself. Because he was conscious that having the responsibility to bring the word as one that was sent. And he wasn't just one that maybe went to the Bible school and study and had an ambition to be a minister. He recognized that he was spoken of to be standing here on the earth in this hour. He recognized the fulfillment of Malachi 4:5. He recognized he wasn't just a preacher, that he was born a prophet and foreordained to be a prophet from his mother's womb. He recognized that whenever God sends prophets in the Bible, they're always before judgment. A prophet is a sign of coming judgment. He had to understand that there was no higher order for God to reveal his word than prophets. So he lived looking for the word to be revealed in his life. And when he saw the word coming, he knew that that is how God brings mercy to his people. The people in Noah's days received mercy when God presented mercy to them through a prophet. Is that right? People in the time of Egypt received mercy when God presented mercy to them through a prophet. People in John's time received mercy when God presented the word, John presented the word to them through a prophet. Is that right? All right. So when he began to see he was a prophet, he was recognizing the office of a prophet. And I think, you know, that is what happens with us as believers. When we talk about recognizing the position in the world, that if the church would recognize that we are called out and separated to become the bride, and the ministry of the bride as revealing the word, and recognizing not that we have an ambition to go and do things in this generation, but recognizing that by and through the members of the bride, God will finish his work. You understand what I'm talking about now? That this bride will have a ministry that will show forth his victory. The whole purpose and his whole wisdom is summed up in the bride. And that have never really truly be fully expressed by no bride, not even the first bride, not even the alpha bride. They had the fullness of the revelation, but they didn't come to the fullness of the redemption. They died not having been changed. Amen? Because there was other ages. It's not that, you know, there's other ages to come. There are other seed to be made manifest that was in the book of life. But this is that day of redemption. And this is the day when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven to shout, we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not hinder them who are asleep. Is that right? We shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, the Bible says. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So then it means to say, if that is gonna happen, then we have a responsibility, and that is why when God is in the process of preparing and making us ready to do him the service according to his will for this age, it seems that people, because they lack this revelation of their purpose, sometimes they get so on an individual level, and they fail to realize the bride is universal. They fail to realize you as an individual is only a member of the body. And the whole ministry and the whole purpose will not be fulfilled in you as far as what God wants to give witness to this generation. See, does all speak in tongues? No. Does all work miracles? No. But the bride collectively, she will show forth the full expression of his victory. All that is promised in this hour. And that is why, you know, when we get into a place and we just get so, we lose our balance in the world and we just bring it down to maybe an individual situation and we don't look at ourselves as part of the rest of the body, then what happens is that we fail to realize that God is preparing a people in this hour for our work. Amen. And in preparing us, he knows just what to do. He don't have to send it to college in another country. Right in your own home. The same God who says, okay, you have, you know, maybe you're a housewife and you can find your home and you're not a busy body, you're not running to other people's houses and you're not up and down in the street and all the different things. That same God knows just how to bring all the experiences necessary. Right within that area of your life and your existence, in the age that you are living in, to shape you and mold you, that your measure, your part as a member of the body, that you would come to the place of preparation to fulfill these things. You don't have to worry about that. What you have to do is yield yourself to it. Because God is the author and the finisher. The problem is sometimes we take on the whole responsibility. We start to worry about it. How are we going to do it? How are we going to do that? And God didn't call us to worry about it. Because God is the one who chose us. And God is the one who ordained that we be part of it. And God is the one who gave us that vocation. Amen. And God, in his great wisdom, knows just how to do it. Well, how will I ever get resurrection faith if I don't go out there? Right in your home, you can get it. The Shunammite woman had resurrection faith right there. The widow in the time of Elijah had resurrection faith right there. Is that right?
Yeah.
So then when you look and see that God knows how to do these things. And seeing then that, you know, it's so necessary that we catch from the Spirit the hour that we are living in. You see, sometimes a lack of that revelation is a lack of people knowing exactly what time it is. And it's difficult for them to even follow if they don't know what is to happen in this time. God allots his word to a time and to a season. He has a portion of word for every age. And every age, he has a portion of that word, and he predestinates a group of people to manifest that portion of word. And the Holy Spirit in every age hunts out those people that are predestinated and quicken them to recognize that word. And he reveals to them that word by showing them what age they're in and what word is allotted to that age. Then God put them on the expectation for what is to be fulfilled in that age. Is that right? Sure. And then when you come on the expectation of it, as the Spirit, that all these things take the operation of the Spirit. But as often you people go running looking for all kind of manifestations and these things, when they fail to see the Spirit is revealing to them, is giving them a revelation that they have a part in it by making it known to them, by teaching to them, and by preparing them and making them ready that these things might be interpreted in their life. Now, you as a believer tonight, you say, oh, God, you know, Lord, I want to see Christ in my life. What are you looking for? He said, well, I know I live in a good life. I know I love the Lord. But, like, that is not powerful enough maybe to show, you know. See, it's not just a good life, but when you see the word being interpreted, but then what word? You see? And this is where, you know, when we go grabbing at things, we lose our rest and our peace. Because the very word that is intended to bring the peace, bring the rest, relax you, that you might be able to see, it was God's grace put me here. Is God's grace remember he put me here? Is God's grace come to me this season when he needed a vessel to use? Is God's grace begin to reveal his word to me that I don't go run trying to do everything and things that I don't even call for, but to show me my place? Is that right? Sure. And you begin to accept these things and become thankful for it. Because in God's great house, he has vessels. Some are wood and some are gold and some are silver and some are earth. Is that right? Yes. Sure. And some vessels are honor and some vessels are dishonor. And everyone is prepared and fit for the master's use. And then, I mean, that is so simple. You know, many of us, we have our little dinner set at home and we have our different things there in the buffet, and that's where we have most of our nice vessels. And we have those we use every day. And then we have those we use on special occasions. Isn't that right? Sure. No, it's yours. See? So, which one is more valuable? Which one you spend more money on? Which one has more worth to you? Which one you prize in a greater way? Do you want to use every day or do you want to use only now and then? You know what I'm saying? But what happens many times is that you feel like I ain't seen God in my life, like God ain't using me, like I ain't doing nothing for the Lord, like, you know, and then you want to go and do something. Well, whatever the time you use it, yeah, that don't mean you have less value. Look at how great what you are. You see, the things that sometimes make us lose our rest and takes away our peace from us and brings us into a sort of troubled mind, and we can't seem to have confidence as we ought to. We just can't seem to satisfy, tossed to and fro continually questioning. See, no stability inside our lives. More murmuring and complaining than anything else. Yet sometimes you're right in the will of God, and God is having his way, and God is perfectly satisfied with you just the way you're going by the grace of God. But because you're in a whole works atmosphere, you're not trying to see God's will and God's plan, is why the devil is doing that to you. Amen. Now I'm still, we'd like to take the same title, the judicial sentence of God tonight. Because the scripture I read here, I reread the scripture tonight, especially this one in particular, because I want you to see, like, in every court, when they have a great crime against the state or something, and they are going to have a judge to preside over this case, And maybe it might, they know this man have some high-powered, let's say a great constitutional matter or something. You're not going to go and get no man who is not experienced. Let's say, like for instance, we have this great charge against here with the attempted overthrow of the government and these things. Well, if you want a judge to preside over that matter, you don't want these people to get off free. You don't want some little smooth-talking lawyer going to just come and misrepresent the law and do everything else and just get these people off court free if they're guilty. So you would want to appoint the right judge, an experienced judge, to sit over this matter. You see? And here in the scripture it says, the Father judgeth no man. But the Father committed all judgment to the Son. See? And had given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He came as man. He lived as man. He attempted all points like man. He went through all these things. He's the one who is both mediator, priest, is going to come as judge of man. In other words, when the time of judgment, the time appointed for judgment, when the judging time comes for the world, they ain't going to have no little lightweight there. I can remember I was looking at something one time, and they had this great case, and boy, they grew up against some real high-powered lawyers. And they choose maybe, this kind of other person, the inexperienced person to go in. They say, is a lightweight you're selling against them people? You want a heavyweight. You see, in law language, you see? You want somebody but to really put the crunch on the matter. You don't want somebody to go in there and get intimidated by the lawyer and get all confused with the highfalutin talk and overpower their mind and, You want somebody that's going to nail them to a place they're not going to come out. Amen. So, the Father had committed all judgment to the Son. So the prophet said, what is God going to judge this world by? The Baptists? The Methodists? The Pentecostals? That's the scripture right here. He's going to judge by Jesus Christ. One who is both God and who is both man. One who is tempted on all points. One who pleased the Father. Amen. Amen. One qualified for judgment. Amen. Remember you take the Patmos vision. The white which signifies experience, maturity, wisdom. Is that right?
Amen.
Sure. And you begin to see that what qualifies one to judge. Then if the saint is going to judge the earth, wouldn't she need the same thing?
Amen.
If she's going to judge angels, wouldn't she need the experience, maturity, and wisdom also?
Amen.
When people run to the court and they run here in the carriage, isn't there lack of experience, maturity, and wisdom?
Amen.
Sure. Well, look. So God is laying on his word here. See, I want this to anchor. I don't want to preach over this. I just want to kind of take my time and put this on your heart. The same way in God's mind, it had a time for salvation. It had a day of grace. There's going to be seven church ages when the blood was sprinkled. All through the Old Testament, seven drops of blood, seven drops of blood, seven stripes of blood, different things like that. Seven sacrifices, signifying these things. But then the time came, there's going to be a sign to show that the church age is finished. It's a sign to show man's day is over. We in the Lord's day now. See? Because in the Lord's day, John said, I was in the spirit in the Lord's day. Not in man's day, in the Lord's day. When we come into the Lord's day, when the Lord himself is coming as a judge. Then God is going to reveal that. Salvation is revealed to the world. Is that right? No, you know the Jews cannot see the Savior today because they're blinded. But salvation has come to the Gentiles. Salvation has been a revelation. Why did we believe that salvation is over? Because we have had the experience of it in this age too. If somebody had come and convinced us that this, it is finished, there's no more salvation, well, then we'd all be without hope. Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, that some of these people, like the Jehovah's Witness, they hadn't come in 1844. Some of them come in 1914, the Seventh-day Adventists and so on. Well, if all that had happened back there, then there'd be no salvation today. It was all wrong. The theories all backfired. Because yes, people coming in and here the Holy Spirit being evident, performing the same works, doing the same things to show it is Him, the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Salvation is a revelation, you know. Well, if somebody convinces you ain't saved, they take it away from you. Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. So it's been revealed to them. And they, when they was getting that experience, they didn't say, a devil come upon me. Peter said, this is that what Joel spake. He's had a sensation, and boy, I know what happened to us up there. But if we talk about this, I may want to call that God. No. They knew what it was. They put it back in the scriptures. Is that right? It was revealed to them what happened. Nobody could take it. They give their life for it. They were beaten. And there was no discourage. They were persecuted and thrown in prison and tortured. And yet they never broke and denied the faith. Why? It showed the power of revelation. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. No wonder it says, faith of our fathers living still. Now, why people just break and deny and fall and get discouraged and frustrated and go back? The devil have been able to take away from them what they thought they had. So when they say they have that condition, they no longer can speak with faith and confidence saying, I'm saved. Because the question is the life I'm living. Is that right?
Yeah.
But why did David pray, Lord, restore me back to the joy of my salvation? Not my salvation. See? So look. So God is showing here, He's appointing a judge for this judgment. Is not anybody going to jump and say, I want to be the judge, I want to be the judge. Oh, all them prophets going to print the application and apply to have jurisdiction over this matter. No. He appoint the judge. He say, him, the son, all judgment is going to be committed to him. He's the one going to judge this world. A judge was selected and appointed for this matter. Do it, Mita. Romans 2. You see, salvation was being preached to the people. It was being revealed to them out of the word. When Paul went to the Gentiles who had never even seen Jesus nor heard of him, and they say, what name of this new God you bring here? And this was the resurrection. They begin to laugh at him and so on. And he began to preach that revelation to people who didn't even know it, hear about it, nothing about it. And then some of them begin to see what he's talking about and come into it and get the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And churches were beginning to be established in Asia. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
How was it knowing there was a salvation? Just hearing a man preaching it. Yeah. A man who had known it. A man who had experienced it. A man who was commissioned to go and give it to others.
Amen.
As freely as you receive, freely give. Is that right?
Yeah.
And they went on being to preach that.
Yeah.
Well, how would the bride preach judgment to the world? It has to be revealed to her.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we can all put the judgments in the white one judgment. We can all say this is not the Lord's day.
Yeah.
He's not judged between prison king because that white wig, maybe that's his glorified condition. After the tree, that is glorified condition. That takes over the Lord's day and he judges now. Don't you realize that?
Yeah.
That's what the prophet said. Jack, he said, what is that Jesus the white man to the tree? Yes. He said, oh, Brother Abraham, you're not theologian, they all have the answers. Oh, Brother Abraham, he said, that's Jesus in his glorified condition. He said, didn't ring a bell. Too much of the description there. John was seen in the future. The book of Revelation, the book of prophecy. It don't ring a bell. You understand?
Yeah.
Let me tell you. You see, sometimes you don't realize where that prophet stood. So now, I explained this to you long ago. We just read the message and just we believe it in the sense of we believe it, and that's the right thing. But then sometimes our belief could be shaken if we don't understand what we believe. So then God have to, if you only believe, then you're going to see. As you walk in light, you're going to unfold light to you. And as you begin to reveal the word to you, then you begin to see exactly where he was standing when he began to place those things there. Because remember, to all those denominations, that cloud means nothing. Yet to us, that means we're in a conjunction between dispensations. To us, that the whole church world is finished, is dark, is gone. That he's here now as judge. Well, then if one man has a step of that revelation, look at the authority he's going to take to place that in the Bible and divide the scriptures now to show us. It's upon the basis of the things that he was knowing, he began to preach message like indictment. You know. That wasn't just like a message, you know. If you could preach a message and he come across the scripture, no. God had to announce it to the mouth of a prophet systematically what he was doing in this generation.
Yeah.
When the seals had come, that was grace coming. The head somebody came and shouting the grace. No man could open that book. No man in heaven or under the earth.
Yeah.
That's the grace of God, the Lamb stepping forward to take the book. Amen.
Hallelujah.
When the revelation began to come forth, that wasn't because like, he now was trying to bring another interpretation. That was the interpreter giving the interpretation and vindicated on the platform before witnesses that was not a man speaking, it was God speaking. Amen. And then when these things begin to be placed in the scriptures, then that was us now to receive the concept. What day it really is for. You see, that's why sometimes the Holy Spirit takes the word and place things there to you to show you. You can say, nah, I believe that. You can buy a next minister who don't even have a revelation, and he said, no, that don't mean that. And you kind of feel better. Say, I feel more relaxed because what he's saying here recorded to me. But the two all could be wrong. We are both all in what the scripture talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because maybe one shows you, you're wearing the balance and found wanting. Maybe one showed you that what you're claiming as identification is not identification. And you don't want to lose that. Now, nobody's trying to take away what you have. That's not the intent. The intent of the word is trying to give you what you don't have. Or show you what you have. Amen. But if in doing that, The world take away a lot of things that you heap up there. Well, then thank God for it.
Amen.
All right. Romans 2. We got Paul. Paul writing the book of Romans here. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. He went through the first chapter and he was dealing with the Gentiles. And he was showing how the Gentiles will be judged. How God gave them over to a reprobate mind and so on. And now he's dealing with the Jews now. He said, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them who commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them who do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You who judging people for doing things and then you doing the same thing? Because remember, the Jews had the law, but the Jews didn't have no new birth and the Gentiles didn't have no new birth. The Gentiles without the law had no new birth, and the Jews with the law had a new birth, had no new birth. So both was guilty. Both was the same people. One maybe just had a little moral uprightness that came by trying to obey the law. But by the works of the law is no flesh justified. Amen. But both of them, that's why I say all have sinned and the whole world has become guilty before God. See? So they what you did what he was doing here. He understood it, so he was placing it upon those Jews. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? See, God willing to make the riches of his grace known to us, the Gentiles. See? That's what he's been doing. We see his goodness, his forbearance, his longsuffering towards us. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth them to repentance. You don't get a man pushing over your head, repent, repent. No, that's the goodness of God to you. Should lead you to repentance. That's in the grace of God coming to you. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, see, the hardening of the heart. After thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And I just want to drop down to verse 16. You read there, he begins to break it down and deal with both Jews and Gentiles and showing God no respect of persons and so on. And then he says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Which day is that? His gospel is restored for him. And this day, Hebrews 4:12 came and discerned the secrets of men's hearts to show that the judge himself is here. Okay, so let me go on with that scripture there. So watch. First we see John 5:22, God appointing a judge for judgment of the whole world. Father committed the judgment unto no man, only his son committed that judgment to. It's by him the world will be judged. Baptists will not be judged by the Baptist doctrine. Methodists will not be judged by the Methodist doctrine. Pentecostals will not be judged by the Pentecostal doctrine. All man will be judged by the word. The word is Jesus Christ. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will never pass away. Let every man's word be a lie, and let God's word be the truth. In the beginning was the word, and the word is with God, and the word is God, and the word is made flesh. So Jesus Christ, the Word, all judgment is committed unto him. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we see the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Paul is saying, he says, look, when man do these things, they only heap it up to themselves wrath against the day of wrath. So he's saying there's a day of wrath. There's a day when God's judgment will be made manifest. Sure, he judges man in every age. But then there's a day when all man will come before the judgment of God. Amen. And the righteous judge himself will be there, because he says, and the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. It's going to be revealed one day. When that day comes. The same way for 4,000 years to look for a savior. But it had to be revealed that the savior is here. And the day of salvation is here. And the day of grace is here. And it took a prophet with the spirit of Elijah, who the Lamb came to. Is that right? He began to reveal, this is the day, this is the time, this is the Savior, this is the Lamb. When that mercy seat was made in plain view, then the apostles and them went forth preaching that gospel. Let man know that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household shall be saved. But did the Jews believe that those people were being saved? They didn't believe it because they turned it down. But those people were preaching something that had been revealed and made known by a prophet. And God had vindicated that prophet that this was the time of salvation. You get what I'm saying? Well, in the same way, to prove he was Savior, to prove the time of salvation, Jesus said, I come to preach what? The acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed the book. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bind the broken and set the captive free, and so on. His anointing was in relation to the scripture that was allotted for that time, and it had to be fulfilled, because it was that time. He didn't come as a lion, he came as a lamb. Even the wise men will say, where is he born king, king of the Jews? We have seen his star and come to worship him. Sure, he's born king, but it wasn't time for the kingdom yet. John never said, behold the king. John said, behold the lamb. The wise men came looking for a king. But John, the prophet, he knew that before he could establish his kingdom, his subjects needed redemption. He had to save them first. All right. Now, friend, that was the first coming. But the second coming, when he comes and takes the book again, he's not talking about the acceptable year of the Lord now. He's talking about the day of vengeance. He's talking about the time of judgment now. Because we're at the end of the age. And this generation is blind and has been hardened the same way that generation was when the Son of Man came to them the first time. Now, when Peter and them look upon the Jews, they wasn't made to see the Jewish nation as a nation that was. As a people that loved God and wanted the message. They was made to know that having eyes they cannot see. And it's predicted of them to be in that condition, and they have to reject the word. So they ain't going to try to save the nation. He said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see, if a minister don't know his calling and don't know the scripture, no words, he can run and try to save the world. He can get discouraged and pray and fast and frustrate himself like people ain't getting saved. He said, because he don't know the word. If he knows the word, he will know what the results would be. Remember the prophet, when the people said, go away, he said, Lord, he says, where are they going? The angel said, but didn't your Lord only have 12? He said, but didn't your Lord only have 12? He said, yes, Lord. Put him back in the Bible. You see, we could get into so much different things without the knowledge of the word. Let me tell you, that's why somebody got sincere motives, you got good intentions, you got great expectations, yes. You can even run wild. True. But even though according to the word, it's all going to fail. Yes. Amen? Amen. So brother, when he was catching that revelation, all
They stood up there and began to preach. Then why did Paul come to a place and dust his feet and shake his raiment? Let me tell you, those men understood because they were vessels to whom the word for that age was committed. They carried in their bosom the mystery of God. It was deposited in them. They was made a voice to that generation. They were shown their place in the Bible. Sure. And they knew that they stood between the living and the dead. Let me get it. People don't understand what it is to have the word deposited in you. When God takes a man and sets him aside and reveals his place in the book and confirms that that's his place by giving him the revelation, things that he can't even learn with his own human mind. Let me tell you, God is confirming a man's place in his word. God is showing you the thought he thinks towards you. Because you know without that, you have no motivation for service. You have no confidence to stand against opposition. You have no faith to deal with problems. But he gives that to you that regardless of the circumstances, you can stand there regardless. And finish your course with joy as a prisoner to his word. Amen. Glory. I believe that. Amen. That's the Bible, man. Amen. That's why you as a believer. It's not like, well, I believe today, I believe tomorrow, I'm sure I believe again. No. Let me tell you, you know what it is to be a believer. God called you and give you the capacity to believe. The first thing God shows you when you can believe is, blessed is she that believe it. For there shall be a performance of those things told you from the Lord. Because God showed that everybody could believe. And it has so much classes that will be lost and classes that will not even come into the category he placed you in because of the way you could believe. Because of how he gave you to believe. Amen! And then you realize right away it's given to you to believe. To receive the word with gladness, amen. To hold it in your heart, you're going to bring forth after its kind. Amen. You ain't a foolish virgin, you can't kind of believe you, deleterious, you're wondering if you way have right. Somebody put your hard message, you lost your faith. You don't know, you get confused and false, and someone comes with some great explanation and do a sign, and you get overthrown. Some unbeliever said, that could never be God. That could never be God. Amen. That don't bother you. Amen. You laugh at that and you're gone. Because God has confirmed your place in the world. Amen. You have confirmed your place in the world. He drives the fear away from you. He bolt your faith down. Amen. Show you what kind of stock you are. What you're made up of. Amen. You are part of him to begin with. Amen. It don't shake you. You gotta catch it there in your message. Let me tell you, Paul was catching the day. When Paul stood there, he stood by that sea. You look up there. Back in them days, they didn't believe the world was flat. Man gonna go and fall over a cliff. But that gospel burning and the then known world that they had. He says, look, you just can't stay on here in Jerusalem, man. With this thing. He wasn't saying he had a little thing in Jerusalem in the scriptures. You know what I'm saying? See, Paul, what are you trying to be? See? But he knew when an angel come. That anointing, that pillar of fire. What comes out of that anointing? It goes to the world all the time. And he, when doors begin to be open, and he saw his day, he saw who Jesus was. He saw what was God taught, that God so loved this world. He sent his only begotten Son, not that the world should be condemned, but through him the world would be saved. Yes. Yes. It wasn't a Jerusalem thing. Yes. Wasn't it the religious people? Yes. Amen. Yes. He looked the air. And then to begin with, how much men were sending a commission to the Gentiles? How much men wanted to carry the message to the Gentiles to begin with? One Jew attempted it and you were so afraid, but it took off an next direction. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And here's a man now getting a revelation in his heart. This thing is supposed to be taken to others, man. This is God's word. This is God's truth. This is the mind of God. See? And he began to go out there with that word. Because his vision, what he was seeing, he began to see his place. Man, pick up Isaiah 42. Thou shalt be a light unto the Gentiles. You see, Jesus spoke that. That was spoken in the first person to Jesus. But you look in Jesus' life and see that was never fulfilled. He never believed Jesus had to come back in the flesh to do that. Set up no tent and do that. Amen! Glory! He know the Holy Ghost is the one who is fulfilling his own word. The Holy Ghost speak it and the Holy Ghost bring it to pass. And the Holy Ghost can use anybody to bring it to pass. Amen! Where the Holy Ghost give faith, people act on the word. You hear it, you recognize it be the truth, and you go to acting upon it. You don't sympathize with it, you don't debate it, you don't question it. When it falls in the bedrock of faith, it puts you into action. And he began to preach because he was sitting in the word. If there's redemption, there must be judgment. But he knows there's going to come a time. So he says, look, there is going to be a day of judgment because Jesus was speaking it. In St. John 5, Jesus spoke of the two resurrections right there. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. The hour is coming, he says, and now is when they in the grave will hear the voice of the Son of God and live. See? Coming in this hour, and then was now is right there in Matthew 27. And then also, then he says, and the hour is going to come when all that are in the graves, yeah, both to damnation of evil and those who come to life. And Jesus speaking that day and go back to Daniel 7 and place that day. And they knew that. That was in the Old Testament. So they knew there was a day appointed that God is going to judge as well. Before, they knew there was a kingdom to be set up and strong. So he's preaching here and saying, look, all this hardness of people's heart and these things that and these things that treasure up is heaping up until that day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4. This is the last gospel Paul wrote. In this he speaks of his death. The time of his departure was at hand. He was a Roman prisoner. He was getting ready to go. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course and all these things. I kept the faith. Verse 1, 2 Timothy 4. He's writing to Timothy, a minister. One who'd been born right under his own ministry. And he saw that he had the grace given unto him to bring the people into remembrance of his ways that were in Christ. And he writes to this young minister and he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Amen? Yeah. At his appearing and his kingdom. Yeah. He shall judge the living and the dead. In verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love
his appearing.
Now watch.
At his appearing, that judge was going to appear one day. And when that judge appeared, he was going to show the that day of judgment. That day of the revelation of his wrath has begun to break forth and unfold to the world who is going to come under his judgment. No, you know the sixth seal is the judgment seal. The judgment of God is under the sixth seal. You know that? How many know that a fact? All right. See, I know some of you are saying, mind here, white throne judgment. That's the only judgment some people see, you know. White throne judgment, don't get. See, but I'm talking about that don't get. I'm talking about the judgment here. In other words, there cannot be an opening of the sixth seal, a point of the wrath of God, if people is not shown that they are guilty. Yeah. What kind of judge is that? Yeah. What kind of judge is going to burn the earth and destroy the people and never even know they had a chance? They never even know they're telling the word. They never been proven guilty. Yeah. Not even the natural court of man does function like that. They call a kangaroo court. You find a man, he can get no trial. Four or five people get on and say, lynch him, lynch him. He's a horse thief. They lynch him up and they go. God don't operate so. See, God don't operate so at all. In the days of Noah, how did God judge them? Did God just pour out wrath and say, I done with them? He came down. He went around, he looked, he saw. He said, no, my spirit can't strive no more. He went to a prophet. He called a prophet aside. He began to reveal his word. He said, look how they destroyed the earth. Look how they destroyed the rivers. Look how they destroyed the air. Look how they destroyed the seas. He showed him. Then he says, but I'm going to save you and your household. Go and begin to preach and give him a message. Preach about the coming judgment. Warn them first. I will not bring them into judgment until I first warn them. Is that right?
Exactly.
How did they do in Sodom? Did they come and poke the rat? He said, come down to look and see. See what's happening here. Amen?
Amen.
As it was in the day of Noah and as it was in the day of Sodom, so shall it be.
Amen.
So if God's going to do it in this age, for that 6 years to break and the wrath of God be poured out, then they have to be investigated. Then they had to be indicted. They had to be tried. The verdict had to come forth. The sentence had to be pronounced. Amen. Then they had to be put into a prison. Awaiting judgment. The execution of the judgment itself. The carrying out of the sentence itself. But that's what I want to show you. That those things have come true in this age exactly. That's what this message has been all about. Under that seventh seal, that process was taking place under that seventh seal. He was judging the quickened ones and the dead ones. A woman who lives in pleasure while she's alive is He said, is that why this message was against women so much? Immoral women? Did John crowd against it in his day? Did Elijah crowd against it in his day? He said, did Paul crowd against it in his day? Exactly. In the days of Noah, wasn't that cause the fall? The sons of God? Wasn't that cause the fall back in the Garden of Eden? He said, is this that why this message is against those things? We sit in this age and we come to church and we go back home and we're doing this and we're doing that and we're going about our business and so on. But as we get up into the thoughts of God, into the revelation of judgment being given and revealed in the time that it was appointed to come, the same way that salvation was given in the time it was appointed to come. And when that dispensation of the churches was finished, God even showed it in the heavens with the moon blacking out and so on. And God started to separate light from darkness. Because he will not destroy the children of light with the children of darkness. Is that right?
Exactly.
So you see, when we look at these things, it's not somebody trying to scare somebody. It's not somebody annoyed and vexed. We're receiving God's word in the day that it is. As Balaram says, they're trying to run and build churches and do this and do the other and all this kind of moves and million-dollar building. He said, is that the hour? He said, can't they see the rock thrown up? He said, what hour is it, friends? He said, can't they see judgment? Elijah went to the secret place before judgment struck. Noah went to the secret place before judgment struck. Children of Israel went into a secret place under the blood before judgment struck. Amen. Isn't the bride has been called out too? Amen. Is that right? Amen. Sure. But look at it. Let's examine. We all examine scripturally. So there was a time when that judge was going to appear. He was going to appear. He was going to assume the office of a judge, and he was going to appear on the scene when he assumed that office. Believe that? Let's think Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Here's Isaiah with his great vision. Verse 16. What a vision he had. Looking way down under the seventh seal and seeing what was coming. Looking at Revelation 5. Revelation 10, he's looking at. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands, he will repay recompense. Now, what is all this talking about? What is he looking? What is he seeing? He was seeing that there was no man, there was no intercessor. There has been one for seven church ages. See? He said, but then he saw one putting on the garments of vengeance for clothing. Not the garment of a priest to go in and serve. But now he's putting on the garments of vengeance. When John saw him, the girdle was not around the waist, it was around the paps, signifying that he had left his mediatorial office and he was now in the office of a judge. And in that day was one like the Son of Man. Is that right? Okay. Verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the north. Is that what it says? From the west. Where's the west? Where the sun sets. Where civilization comes to an end. It starts in the east and ends up in the west. Amen. See, that's where the sin barrier is. And the same sun that rises in the east, rises in the west. And his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You get that? When is that going to happen? When they're going to fear the name of the Lord in the west. It's not until they come back in the west the name will be revealed in its completeness, because the name was lost. And it wasn't when it was crossing Europe there, the Mediterranean. It wasn't found when it was crossing the English Channel. The name came back in the West. Amen. Sardis, you say you have a name that you live as but are dead. All up till Pergamos, he said, thou hast kept my faith and hast not denied my name. But then Sardis said, you have a name that you live as but are dead. Well, Sardis is where? Germany. In Ephesus, when they start there back in Jerusalem, they had the name. They preached that name. They bear that name. That name was glorified and admired in them that believe. He was fulfilling the work of faith with power amongst them. Is that right? Amen. He said, Paul, the chosen vessel to bear my name. He said, hallowed be thy name. Father, glorify thy name. That name was written in the forehead. Amen. They loved that name. But then, in Sardis, they didn't have the name. Because the gospel had traveled from Jerusalem, had come through France, come through Europe there, and come into Germany, across the Mediterranean. Then it had to cross the English Channel coming westward. He said, watch it geographically, historically, chronologically, scripturally. It all comes from east to west. From Ephesus to Laodicea, from Jerusalem to the United States. From the Arabian desert to the Arizona desert? Sure. When they start in the east with civilization, they come all the way in the west, historically, civilization following the sun. Is that right? Scripturally, from Ephesus to Laodicea? Sure. Geographically, from Jerusalem to the United States? Anyhow you want to take it. He said, well, it caused them three bodies of water. So shall they fear the name, because that name was going to be revealed again in the last days. So you know who you worship. You holding that name right there, you're going to get it. So you see, when the enemy come like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall have a stand against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. In Isaiah, in verse 16, there was no intercessor. But now we see him changing his garments. A change of vestia signify what? A change of office. And now we see one coming as what? Verse 19, 20, as redeemer. Not intercession, redemption. The church ages was intercession, but the seals is redemption. Redemption being revealed. When the Son of Man cometh, look up what? Your intercession draweth nigh? Your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Amen. When you see the Son of Man, not Son of God, the Son of Man coming with power and great glory in the clouds, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. When the Redeemer is coming with the title deed of redemption, when? In the 50th year, after seven Sabbaths, after seven church ages, in the Jubilee, amen. We're going to come out of my people, we're going to separate them. Because why? It's time for them to pour their plagues in that harlot. Sure. So look, but he's saying that very hour, the enemy will come like a flood. That is the time when the flood is going to come. The enemy will come like a flood. And unto those who turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. See, the Redeemer ain't coming to the world. He's coming to Zion. See? Then the Redeemer shall come to Zion with joy. Amen. Therefore, the Redeemer of the Lord shall return and with singing and rejoicing. See? As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed. Amen. So you don't have to bring him down from heaven. And you don't have to bring him up from the earth. The word is nigh thee, even in thy. Where did the third pull come from? A mouth. Where did them seven thunders come from? A mouth. Where did the three unclean spirits come from? A mouth. See? You pity people sometimes. They run helter-skelter. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're looking for. You watch what's going on to their mouth, friend. You may not like how I'm shaped, how I am built, how I look, how I talk, but watch what's going on to my mouth. You may not even like my mouth, but watch what's going on to my mouth. Amen. That's His word. Yes, sir. His word, the teaching, the anointed ones in the end time, the difference will be the what? Teaching. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. St. Mark 11:23. See? It's going to come from the mouth if you see. Amen. Look at chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord shall rise upon thee. Who the Lord? The Redeemer that is coming to Zion. Revelation 10:1. He who had them seven thunders in his mouth. Who could create a billion ton of flies and all those things. Amen. The Lord shall arise upon thee and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So here we have darkness and light together in that hour when the Redeemer is coming, when the enemy is coming like a flood in that hour. Revelation 9, what happened? Hell was open. Revelation 10, what happened? Heaven was open. And there is a king coming up out of hell, and there's a king coming down from heaven. Is that right? And because the enemy was coming like a flood in Revelation 9, it was a fallen star. Is that right? Yeah. But Revelation 10, this one didn't fall. It come down from heaven. Yeah. Lucifer and Michael coming together. Yeah. Amen. Two kings, two groups riding. Is that right?
Yeah.
So we take that for years. Yeah. I'm just repeating some of these things, putting some of these things back in your mind. To show you. See, it's coming together. And that's why Revelation 10 is coming to the word, because it's going to take the word in flesh. That's the standard. Because he says, wait until I preach to them seals and tunnels and those vials and you open up them plagues and you see them hideous creatures. They're going to haunt men who cut the hair with them creatures with long hair and so on. Is that right?
Yeah. Sure.
Them demons, he said they are supernatural devils unseen to the eye. He said, but we can see what they are doing. Why? Because he anoint our eyes with eye salve that we can see. Because he said, these seven seals uncover the scheme of the enemy.
Amen.
Amen. We have the devil answer. It's not hidden to us no more. Because God said, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature. Amen. He said, come and see. And I saw hell following death. I saw him with his group riding, taking them down to Armageddon to be destroyed. Amen. Coming like a flood. Supernatural devils coming against their bride. Amen. He said, when that coming, what is the darkness upon the people? The enemy that is coming like a flood. That is the darkness. The prince of darkness, the horse of darkness, that is the darkness. Binding them in chains of darkness. And how do you see the darkness? He said, like man has lost the masculinity. And like a woman has lost the femininity. And man want to wear yellow shoes and purple pants. And women want to cut the hair and smoke cigarettes. Is that right? You can go on and on with that. See, but I'm just trying to show you. Look what the darkness is. Demon spirits, hell being opened up and coming here. The enemy coming like a flood in that hour. But third meter, 1 Thessalonians. I'm closing. First Thessalonians 4:13-18 deals with the rapture. I'm not going to read that. That deals with the rapture. You know, and we died already on. So just to review quickly what I've been trying to show you. John 5:22, the judge appointed for the judgment. There's a judge appointed and there's a day appointed. And Romans 2, we found the day appointed and we found that there's going to be a revelation of the righteous judgment of God breaking forth. Second Timothy 4 shows that the judge will appear. And when he appears, he comes to judge the quick and the dead. Like Genesis 18, that's the appearing of the judge right there. Abraham sat in the tent door and saw the appearing of the Lord. What did he come for? To destroy the wicked, but deliver the righteous. He says, shall the judge of all the earth destroy them together? He says, no. Is that right? Then Abraham was already acquitted from guilt because he was imprisoned for righteousness because he had believed. Amen. As it was in that day, so shall be in this day. So look. And then here now we looking at how do we know he's appearing? That's why I went to Isaiah 59 and 60 to show you. When he changes some his garments and he put on the garments of vengeance and the Redeemer comes to Zion. In that hour, when light and darkness is being separated, gross darkness in the people, but light upon the believer. Amen. We took it Sunday morning. The Greek word was KRISIS, meaning condemnation or judge or judgment. And it denotes the process of investigation, the act of distinguishing and separating, a judging, a passing of judgment upon a person or a thing. So that's what it was. He comes to distinguish. He comes to separate the light from the darkness. He comes to separate the righteous from the wicked. That's the time of investigation judgment. The sixth seal is not investigation judgment. The sixth seal is divine judgment being poured out. Then if when the bride goes, the sixth seal opens to pour the wrath of God. And if she must go, that the sixth seal could break open. Is that right? Then where is the investigation going to take place? Has it happened? Has it gone? Let me tell you, do you see now in reality why some will say, wasn't there supposed to be a rapture? How could the judgment be fallen? They were being investigated, they were indicted, they were tried, the verdict was passed, the sentence was pronounced, they were put in the prison and they didn't even know it. I know it did not. Upon them who obey not the gospel and know not him. Watch. See, we're dealing on a global scale, the whole age. But we're going to break that down as we go along with this, down to the individual. And you watch, you take it and you run it through your Bible. The words justify and condemn is always associated in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, always. Because to justify is to acquit. See? To condemn is to pronounce the sentence upon the guilty. They have been found guilty. And the judge, a judge is one who tries and decides a case. He's going to determine the righteous from the wicked. And when he assumes the office as a judge, see, in the New Testament, it's all laid out. We don't have time to go into it tonight. But you pick up the word judge and judgment and run it down through your Bible, in the New Testament especially. You see, the first thing he does, he assumes the office of a judge. Then he undergoes the process of a trial. Then he gives sentence. Then he pronounces his condemnation. Then he executes judgment upon those who've been tried and found guilty. Sure. And that's why it has been unfolding, unfolding, unfolding down through these years. And this generation sinned away to their grace. And that's why they are being deformed and becoming a hideous and hideous condition. And it's getting worse and worse. And you could put an Abraham Lincoln and a George Washington in every nation and put a big one all of us in every pulpit and you can never bring it back. You think the prophet knows what you're saying? You think he's just being fanatical when he's making them statements? Because he understood how far they had gone.
Amen.
There is no court of appeal. He said, ignorance is no court of appeal for being in the wrong ranks. Amen. The call came for, come out of my people.
Amen.
Let me tell you, friend. We hear the message, we hear these things, we look at the denomination, we see what we don't believe, we kind of feel we have a little more truth, we kind of feel this. That's on a human level. That's on a carnal level. When you get up here on God level, God opens an age. God sends a message. God comes and vindicates it. God identifies it in the scriptures. God proves it to the people. God gives them a space to repent. God tells this prophet, now throw your rock up in the air now. It's going to start. God comes down with a whirlwind and made a blast. God put the judgment on the west coast. Because it had to keep in the scripture. It didn't happen by accident. He said, judgment striking East Coast, it'll be wrong. Judgment striking the middle of America, it'll be wrong. Judgment striking South America, it'll be wrong. It must be a coastal city after the Son of Man every time. Is that right? Had to come down through. Right where the sin barrier was in 6,000 years of civilization. I mean, if a man cannot see the judicial process of God executing divine justice in this age, and to see that this generation is under the judicial sentence of God, having been found guilty, they have been found guilty, they don't know it. He says they are willfully disobedient. Why? They had pleasure in unrighteousness rather than the revealed word of God. So God sent them a strong delusion that they might believe the lie and be damned by it. What was the pleasure in unrighteousness? The religious works. Loving their religious works more than the vindicated word. When God vindicates a word, is letting the people know that it's not a man saying that. No, that's God's voice to you. If today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. But people don't understand it that way. See? They don't understand it that way. Because they love the religious works. I love my church. I love my denomination. I love my creed. My grandmother was in this. My great-grandmother was in this. They're not watching the Bible to see what they're living in. There's a word for every age. There is something promised for this day. God is not a historical God. He's not I was who I will be. He's I am that I am, present tense.
Yes.
We have to serve God according to the word promised for this hour.
Yes.
If the people had rejected Noah's message to hold on to the denomination, they all perish. If those people had thought Moses was a fanatic and thought he was one man trying to make a whole move around himself, what happened to them? God said, open up, move aside. God opened the door and swallowed them. God destroy Egypt, is that right?
Yeah.
Because that prophet had the word. In the days of Elijah, one man Elijah had the word, is that right?
Yeah.
God always. In the days of John, one man had that commission to reveal that word, that Messiah. People love a group thing. People love to share authority. People love a club. They don't like one man telling them. They like a bunch of people deciding. This one figures one, this one figures one, this one figures one. And they have two heads, a monster. Sure. Exactly. No, that's the Bible. Let me tell you, that's why this church is standing, man. That's why the word never ceases to come. Which person can stand up here for 16 years and say they were here to see this thing stagnated? Or going wrong in a circle or scratching around for a message somewhere. Sure. It's God. First Thessalonians 4:13-18. Watch that. I want to finish here. Just read the scripture and close. And I want to read from chapter 5. So I just want to back wrong that because this continues from that. This follows that, you see. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. Now watch here now. I want to show you now. What I'm trying to establish is, here is Paul
seeing the same vision that Isaiah saw. And the boat was seeing this hour when he's changing vestia. He has changed his vestia. How many know? You say, Brother Bram, you were sitting on the side of the table. The pillar of fire came, took you west. And when you came back, it put you to the head of the table. You was white all over. And when you spoke, you commanded. Is that right? He said, Brother, we saw your dress. And the way you were dressed, like you, like with a, that ranges, but just like a chief. Is that right? He said, we saw your dress with the double trail button. And he said, like how the Indian chief was. He said, he was a chief again. It had to do with the vestia. And then we say, you saw in the mountain, and the cloud overshadow you. And the voice says, hear ye him. This is my prophet, I give him power to speak into existence. He said, yes, like Matthew 17. See? What he's trying to show, it was the change of the office for him. And the supreme authority was here. And when that prophet spoke, it wasn't he speaking. It was the supreme deity speaking. The judge of all the earth was speaking. And when he opened those seals, he said, I'll call you bride. And then he pointed to the nomination and said, thus saith the Lord, none of you shall ever rise. Your walls shall crumble. Come out of my people. He said, millions in this age who think they are spirit-filled is not spirit-filled. They'll be fodder for the atomic age. Who it was there? It was God in a man like a prophet who could know the secrets of the heart, but it was really God. God, Abraham called him Elohim. Amen? Amen. But I tell you, the message, I enjoy the message. We did not, I mean, we enjoy the message. That's what we're doing. We are appreciating the word, the reality of the word. And we're just trying to crystallize and refresh our thinking and open up some scriptures here that we can view clearly the hour that these things have culminated into. And we could see when California go down, friend, everything that's in heaven and everything on the earth will be shaken off. He that is filthy will be filthy still. He that is righteous will be righteous still. And lo, the sixth seal opened with a great earthquake. And I'm trying to bring it up right to this hour. What I'm looking at is I'm trying to point to you how it has unfolded down in time. And in this day when the judge appeared, in the change, when the darkness and the light begin to separate people. You're pushing one to one side to go into the world council that will be burned with fire, who will take the mark of the beast and go to hell. And he's bringing the one to take them up in the mystery of the seventh seal to go in the rapture. See? Just like he did back there in the days of Noah, in the days of Abraham, all those things is repeating itself. And if we can look clearly and see these things, the scripture itself speaking and revealing to us that what was actually being done and that how God will never be held guilty, but his people who fought the way to hell. See? Then you think of the opportunity to sit in a service like this. What a privilege that is. I'm not talking about for the preaching. No, I'm talking about the opportunity that we have to sit under the word that came through our prophet. I have no message. See? But to show you the hour. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write. What is Paul all the time? Who has revealed his judgment? See? For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. And I mean, I'm not prophesying this, but I have a good feeling that Prime Minister Sharma is either going to get killed or going to die. You have to. Maybe I shouldn't say that because if I say that now, some people are going to start to say, but I didn't say that's going to happen. You know, people kind of, you're going to say, but I didn't say that's going to happen. But I'm just trying to tell you that
They want peace reign. And that man right now is being focused like he's the biggest devil who is the obstacle to peace. And America controls the media, the world, the Vatican, they are trying to poison everybody's minds to make them look as if they're putting pressure to give up that land. And they have people right there who is willing to compromise with the Arabs. Because Israel must come into a covenant for money with Rome. They want peace. They want a compromiser. See, that's what the world wants this hour. A good compromiser. You want one too? Oh, we want to separate. We want to mix it. Amen. We don't want to mix it. Now watch. When they shall say peace and safety, then come sudden destruction upon them. As travail upon a wounded child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, you are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Here it is light and darkness together. And it is a separating time. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunk in the night. And they're not Oloke and they're talking about, you know. This is false doctrine. This all kind of strange mixture of men who earn vision and stumble in judgment. Coming up with all the little potions in the cup, getting people to drink. Intoxicating them. They don't know what season they're living in. They don't know what day they're living in. Strange doctrines that drunk in them. Read Isaiah 20, they don't know what I'm talking about. The prophets all in judgment stumble. See, you all become drunk. Preaching the different ideas, woking the people up in all kinds of different spirits. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and an helmet. For an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's two groups again. One appointed to wrath, and one appointed to salvation. Those of the day and those of the night, and both is together. He said, you don't be as them. Amen? And let's just drop over to 2 Thessalonians 1 and 2 and read a few verses there, which I close off with Sunday, because maybe Sunday we're going to kind of pick that up, but all this is some good little background for that. And you study it when you get home and meditate on it, and you see how, in the light of what we kind of bring in here with these scriptures, it puts together the scene very clearly for us, where we can see the hour that we are living in. And when we read these messages, we can read it with a certain with the understanding that we ought to read it with, to know how far advanced these things are. For him. Verse 5. This is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled to rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Isaiah saw him putting on the garments of what? Vengeance. When there's light and darkness coming together. When was that? When the Redeemer was coming to Zion. Is that right? Now, usually back to the message, Shalom, you know what I'm talking about, man. We see a light and darkness. That's what you're bringing here. You're separate in this age because of judgment. See? Taking vengeance on them. Because Isaiah 61 is what? The day of vengeance. Jesus closed the book. He never read that part. But did he read it in this day? Did the priest hand the book in this day for the second part? Yes. Exactly. Had to be. Did he identify light and darkness together in this day? Yes. Did he show God as separating them too? Yes. All right. So here Isaiah saw it. Paul saw it. The boat was seen in Revelation 10, Revelation 5, when he's leaving the sanctuary to become judge. Is that right? When the Redeemer, Revelation 10, is coming to Zion. 1 Thessalonians 4, when the Lord is coming, When he appeared with mighty angels, and the angel himself was his wig? All right. Taking vengeance on them that know not God, and them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Not come with glorified saints. He didn't say that. When he shall become to be glorified in his saints. Revelation 19, he comes with glorified saints. But Revelation 10, he comes to be glorified in his saints. So in other words, this is not the third coming. Which coming is this then?
It's now.
Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Well, that work of faith that he started in the first age, coming right through, is going to be complete in this age, friend. He will fulfill that work of faith with power in this hour. That the name and the name from the west, and that hour, so shall they fear that name. It's been revealed. Oh, it's precious is that name. It's written in our foreheads. Amen. He sealeth in our forehead the angel with the open book and the angel with the seal of God. He sealeth in our forehead. He wrote the name of my God, the seal of my God, and my new name in your forehead. Not three names, there's one name. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, to culminate this little night here, look, when is this happening? Revelation 10? That seventh seal breaking is under that seventh seal. He is assuming the office of a judge because he is putting on garments of vengeance. And then he goes into investigation. And what he does when he goes into investigation? What is investigation? What it is? The process of investigating, the act of distinguishing and separating. You have to sort of separate the light from the darkness. Separate the children of light from the children of darkness. The message must call out. Come out of her. Not everybody. My people. Is that right? To the foolish virgin of Revelation 25, go you out to meet him. Yeah. Calling out. Calling to separation. Bringing them out. Why? Because he is going to declare a group righteous. They who see him, who recognize the day, recognize the hour, recognize the messenger. Like Abraham, he saw the Lord appearing. He loved it. He runs, the Lord, come sit here. Let me wash your feet. Let me entertain you. What it was, he had loved his appearing. To them that love his appearing, the appearing of the righteous judge, when he come to judge the quick and the dead. He came to Abraham first, then he went to the world. Is that right? Come to you, but when he goes to the world, it's finished. You see what's happening? We're going to pick up Sunday about the investigation judgment, right? And when the sixth seal broke, you watched it in the seals. The first place he ever used the term investigation judgment is on the sixth seal. He says, now is the time of investigation. Why? Because when the sixth seal broke and he saw it was the judgment of God, the wrath of God to be poured out upon the guilty, then he recognized that the last chance to receive mercy was the opening of the seals. That was going to call the bride out together. And to reject that was to qualify for the judgment. But to believe it was to qualify for the resurrection. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, behold, I send you Elijah. And believeth on him, Revelation 10:1, who sent Revelation 10:7, you will not come into the judgment. Amen. What is he talking about? When he says you're not coming to the judgment, he is saying there is going to be a judgment. He is saying He is going to assume the office of judge one day. He's saying that you will be tried for the word that came to you in your generation and your attitude towards the gospel. He's saying that your guilt could be removed around you only if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, that's why Paul never tells you. He said, well, us. And he said, what shall we save? We just say, stop cutting your hair, stop painting your face, stop smoking, stop doing this, stop going in the world, stop drinking beer. He said, we just say that. He said, Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's what will save you. Not stop doing nothing. When you see that, the rest just fall off. When you see the love of God, all has fade away. It's not by your works, amen. And then if you feel you have a desire for those things in the world and you're going to pull towards it, it's just telling you you haven't seen what you're claiming you see. Amen. But when you see that, the rest will become dead to you. Amen. And when you sit in his presence, he said, come and buy of me eye salve that you may see. And white raiment that your shame and your nakedness will not appear. And gold tried in the fire, the real character. Is that his word tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Praise his wonderful name. I don't know. I like enjoy myself better on Wednesday night than Sunday morning. I don't know. Amen. See, I appreciate this week tonight. I trust you have too. Amen. And these things we trying to look at as we have gone through these things over and over, but just that it might, not that, well, I hear it already, no, but that it might crystallize. And so, oh, it's opening up more and more now. I'm seeing now. I'm seeing what he did for me now. I'm seeing what's happening. I'm seeing what the next thing is going to happen. I'm seeing why now the Holy Spirit is pushing us away because Joseph must dismiss his wife to the palace. See? That 61 is fixing the break, friend. Because under that seventh seal, all those people who the wrath of God will pour out on under that sixth seal is here on the earth right now. Know that. Because all this environmental crisis identifies what is going to happen under the sixth seal. It shows the coming, the inroads, the footsteps of the sixth seal coming in. Amen. A disturbance of nature. You see? So when we see that happening, then it means the people is here. Then somewhere along these past years, these people have been tried and found guilty. Wait until you see souls in prison. Because remember, after they've been proven guilty and been sentenced, they're imprisoned, awaiting the execution of judgment. You say, that is why the souls that are imprisoned now? Is that what he said? But how can it be imprisoned? Awaiting judgment. That they was investigated. They was tried, friend. If there is no condemnation in your heart tonight, there is a peace and a blessed assurance because of the grace of God that has come to you through his word and taking your fears and your doubts away. And it's causing you to lift up your eyes. Not because the words say lift up your eyes, you don't see right now. But you're looking away now. Because you realize you have to go up. And that word came to get you. Because you are part of that word. He says, we united with one another here. Jesus united with the living ones first. Then they united with the sleeping ones. Then the living and the sleeping ones united, was united with the great eternal. It was a continuous uniting. First united the word, then we united with one another, then we united with the sleeping saints, and then we unite with the great eternal. Amen. Amen? Let me tell you, when you go in the rapture, it's not because you're hoping it's coming, it's because it's your faith making you look away to go. Because you have rapture in faith. You know the plan of God. You know you have been acquitted. You have been brought aside. You've been set free. You've been repaired. You've been dressed. And you have been taken away. Then you know you're going. Is your faith making you look? Because you know the hour is here to go. that real faith in your heart, you're going to look away from this world. Now he says, look away to Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. City, amen, amen. Let's just sing, let's worship him. Let's say amen to the word if it is the truth, if it's God's great truth. Amen. Hallelujah. It's becoming real, it's becoming clearer and clearer and clearer. Oh God, make it so real in our hearts tonight, Father, that your great Holy Spirit can engrave these things in our hearts with an iron pen. We see the day breaking, we see the sign appearing, the wrath of God being revealed from heaven. That cloud being turned in the sky to show the supreme judge giving witness that the Son of Man has been revealed, and we are in that conjunction between his priesthood and his kingship. These seven seals have been opened to gather the redeemed subjects who are going to reign with him in the millennium. Oh God, while they are being gathered, oh God, that only provided place of worship under the blood being prepared for great translation fate, we see the world being bunged in the ecumenical move, and the World Council of Churches going to be burned with fire on that sixth seal. Oh God, how we love you and how we thank you, Father, for the grace of God that came to us in this dark hour. Oh, may we walk in the light as children of light, Lord. Oh God, may we not be in the darkness, but may we separated. May we come to the light, Lord. Deeds might be shown that they are wrought in God. Hallelujah. May we love the light. Hallelujah. To know the Lord, he had cometh unto the light, will not be judged, Lord, will not come into condemnation, but he had hated the light. He had believed not his condemned already. He had hated the light. Oh God, the wrath of God will pour upon him. But Lord, how we thank you for this beautiful light, this precious light, this glorious light, and shining in our hearts, separating, oh God, us, Lord, from that old nature, bringing us into a union with a new nature, Lord. Hallelujah, the gene that we was to be found us. Oh God, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. Oh, we love you when we think about these things. It brings joy to our hearts. I pray you make it real. I pray it bring assurance and peace and give consolation to every believer tonight. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen. City, amen, amen, amen. City, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. City, amen. Sing an amen. Sing an amen, amen, amen. Sing an amen, amen, amen. Sing an amen, amen, amen. Amen tonight. Father, we say amen to your word. We believe it with all our hearts.
Say amen. Say amen. Amen.
Oh, I believe it, don't you? Darkness covering this earth.
Singing amen, amen.
Oh, we're going home very soon. Oh, we're looking for that chariot to take us away.
Singing amen.
One more
a true witness, the beginner and the author of the creation of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name tonight. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, just come down and fill up your heart. Reveal your truth, Lord, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Make it clear and plain. Give a witness and confirmation in their hearts of your children tonight, and they will not be doubted or confused. Hallelujah. Let them know it is your word, your eternal word. May we tie our soul to it, Lord. This unfailing promise is absolute. Amen. I'll sing amen to your word, Lord. I believe it. I believe that that is the truth. I believe that is the scripture. I believe that is the hour we are living in. I believe that that is the true significance of these great phenomena, the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, all these things that have been photographed, the breaking of the seven seals. Oh God, the rock being thrown up, that whirlwind of judgment, making three blasts. The priest handing that prophet, that book. All these things I believe. Those people in JCPenney's store. I believe these things signify that this is that hour. Oh my, that we've come to the end. The end of all things in our hand. It's not make-believe. It's not some far-fetched theory. But it's in far the word of God. Being rightly divided. Being made plain. We might know the hour. We might be prepared. We might take a true stand for the word if we have not taken it. We might consecrate our lives and get desperate or perish. Oh, that we might just come close to the cross of Jesus Christ. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That we as strength might rededicate our lives, might tie our soul to his word tonight. Blessed be his name. Blessed be his wonderful name. Amen. We'll walk in the light. By amen. You're gonna walk in that light, friend. You see it. We'll walk in the light. Amen. I'm a child of the light. The light has come to get me. That pillar of fire, the fire of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shining of shadow of turning. Amen. Walk in the light. We'll walk. Thank you.
light of God. Oh, I'm gonna walk well. Hallelujah to the rhythm of the word. Oh, what a blessed tribe. Wonderful name. We will walk in the light of God. Blessed be his wonderful name. Your purpose in your heart, you're going to walk in that light. Whatever it takes, you're going to walk in that light. Amen. As you bow our heads and close our eyes, we're going to call Brother Samuel Johnson to pray. Ask God blessing and dismissal tonight. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. And we're going to sing after we're traveling the right road. Praise his wonderful name.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for delivering us, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are not children of the night, Lord. We are children of the day, where the light is, Father. That's why, Lord, we can walk in the light to see where we are going. Thank you for deliverance, God. We feel delivered tonight. We know we are delivered. We know we are free. Lord, we are not going to live under privilege anymore. For you have provided that evening light for us, that word of promise, which has given to us, Lord, by a vindicated prophet. And you have sent an angel to keep us in the way, Father. God, we appreciate you tonight, Lord. Lord, truly you are merciful unto us. God, our understanding is no more dark, Lord God. We are not alienated, Lord God. We are walking different to the other Gentiles, Father. Oh, God, we are following the bloody footprints tonight, Lord. But we know, God, that you are going before us. That is why, Lord, we constantly ask you, Father, to let the dove lead, Lord. For we know, God, that you're going to lead us in the footprints that you have left, Father. Oh, God, in our hearts, we are rejoicing tonight, Lord. To know you have remained faithful with us, Father. After all these years, Lord, as your servant testified tonight, Lord, 16 long years, Lord, you're still leading us, Lord. Oh, God, we are still following the guide, Lord. We are still following, Lord God, in the path of righteousness for your name's sake, Lord. Lord, you're not going to lead us wrong. Lord, we are not going to come up lost, Father. We cannot come up lost, Lord. Oh, God, you say whether we sleep or we wake, Lord, we shall live with you. What an assurance it is for us tonight, Lord. We know our age. We know our time, Lord. We see the latest of the world. These divinely revealed mystery truths that is ordained to turn our hearts literally back to the faith that is once delivered unto the fathers.
God, we love you again, Lord, and protect our homes and our children, Lord God. Lord, in the schools, Lord God, wherever they may be, Lord, in these treacherous times, Lord God, and most of all, God, our minds, Lord, keeping us in the atmosphere of the Word of God, that we could retain God in our knowledge, Father, when the condition would come, Lord, we not lean to the flesh, Lord God, our own thoughts or our own understanding, Father, but we look to you, God, the author and the finish of our faith, the one that means so much to us, Father. Bless us now, God, and take us safely, Father. Meditating on your word night and day, God, this is the only way we'll be prosperous and have good success, Father. Keep us, Lord, keep our minds on thee. This is the only way we'd have peace. Bless us again, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name tonight. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. We're traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. Let's walk in the light. He's going to bring us right into that great, glorious city where the Lamb himself is the light. On the right road, traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. Oh, just keep walking in light. God bless you. Be this way.
Traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling on the traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling on, oh, we're traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling, oh, we are traveling on the right road. Traveling on the right road. Traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling on the right road.